This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Ah, yes. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Another AfterBuzz TV After Show for the final one for the much acclaimed and highly esteemed Downton Abbey series finale. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hi, everybody.
And Courtney Stewart.
Hello.
Very sad, I guess. But, okay, yeah, sad because the series is over, but what do we think? I mean, this was a great finale.
I love Courtney's, Courtney's assessment of just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, okay,
what happens to everybody, Courtney?
Everybody gets a love. Everybody gets a love. You get a love.
And you get a love. And you get a love.
Yes, yeah, very nice. Are you showing him your notes?
Yeah, this is my last page of notes.
Yeah.
I just stopped writing, and it was just happiness and stars.
Yeah, just hearts and stars, and I had a big old happy face all over the page.
I had a pile of Kleenexes, probably 10 high, and I cried more the second time than I did the first time.
So, okay.
I did. No. For anybody who has access to it, take a look at the BAFTA special that they did for Downton Abbey. Or BAFTA. it's so sweet, and they do. I only got to watch the first few minutes of it because it's been a whirlwind for all of us the last few days. I've just been traveling from crazy places.
Patience, people.
Yes. Thanks for being here with us. Some of us have a cold, but the BAFTA special is so sweet, and they do a little bit of a retrospective in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I was like, remembering, you know, Matthew and Sybil and all the love moments from the past, and William passing, and it was wonderful. And then also, there's a text. Santa.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Video that's 15 minutes long that was quite fun. Last year's was very fun. If you'll remember, George Clooney was in it. So so take a look for those things as well.
Okay. So, you know, every time a series ends, they have a finale. And how many times have you heard that it was disappointing?
Right?
Or, you know, it's like, what?
Yes.
The Sopranos, what?
What?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it is?
But, you know, in this one, I was just going, he was. He pulled out all the stops. It had amazing production value and all the great little moments. And you know it's a finale, and everybody's getting great things out. And you don't care.
Yeah,
you're just
I don't care if it's all tied up in a pretty American bow.
Exactly. I loved it.
That's the thing. So many people criticize American movies and American series for, you know, tying everything up so nicely.
Sure.
And quite frankly, I loved that from Uncle Julian. Although I still will never forgive him about the green thing. But that's okay.
Sure.
We're just going to move on. I'm not going to say it again.
On. Because he could have pulled that again, and he didn't. He let that coil go.
He did let the coil go.
Let the coil go.
Yeah, maybe he learned. You know,
learned his lesson.
Okay, but just looking at it, first of all, from the macro of it, just the shots and the beauty shots. Because I was still going. They're still finding ways, beauty shots of Downton Abbey. The last one with the snow and the old Lang Syne.
Gorgeous. Oh, don't even bring it up.
I know.
I'm going to start crying again.
I was crying. I was like, what? I'm getting such, I was sissified watching this thing. I have to tell you. Because it really got to me.
The pretty vistas just in the opening. And I love Lord Grantham walking with the kids. And, you know, shots we haven't seen before, like you said.
Henry Talbot on the bridge and Mary. I mean, that was a great shot. And then they're having
that
cocktails.
Castle.
Cocktails on the yard. Yeah.
Cocktails on the yard.
Margaritas? I know, it looked like they were shaking it up, and they were in margarita glasses. I was like,
no, I thought they were martinis.
Were they doing margaritas at that time? Maybe they changed it.
But I just thought it was hysterical there in their evening. Well, tuxes in my, well, I call them tuxes, and they're out there in the lawn, having cocktails.
Having cocktails in the summer fun.
But that, and then, of course, we had this great juxtaposition. I just, in terms of the production value, we see Thomas when he's on his new job and he's serving the two Lord and Lady of the Manor in that small.
Yeah.
And it's just the two of them eating. And then we cut right to Brancaster with this. How many people were there?
Yeah.
Like 30 or 40 people at the dinner table, the dining table. And it was just a great shot. I just loved cutting back one to the other on that. I thought it was terrific. And then, you know, Brancaster alone. I mean, just looking at that. I know we've been there before, but just great, great shots.
I loved the moment with Edith and her father talking on that sort of...
Oh, when she descends the stairway?
Exactly.
Oh, you're talking about before that in Brancaster?
At Brancaster,
yeah, it
outside.
Was a great shot. Yeah, that was a great scene, too. And then to me, the parallel of that was when she came down the stairs and she's all... in a gown.
What?
And descending the... Sorry, I've lost them. Her veil, the train is long and everything.
But also when Cora came down in Brancaster and they sort of like followed...
Oh, yeah,
that was a great
thing.
Shot.
I was like, wow, that just...
This opulence,
magnified
splendor,
it so much.
Grandeur of all... Yeah, it was terrific. Yeah.
Also, good opportunities with those kind of shots to see the wardrobe and the fashion that we often talk about that now you look at because of us.
Speaking
of fashion...
I give you all the credit. Oh, there you go, Liz.
Oh, she's got her feather headband.
And you've
we've got
your,
a headband over here.
Ladies, very nice, very nice. Yeah.
I made some wardrobe suggestions for John that he promptly refused.
Lord John answers to no one.
People who watch are used to me being in a very staid kind of outfit. They would freak them out to see
Courtney
that
and I were going to track down a top hat for you, but since we were all traveling, we couldn't make it work.
Speaking about the fashion, I do, again, want to thank you so much because, you know, I look at the series, I look at everything, you know, from really a story point of view and then an acting point of view, just because that's where I come from. Now that you guys have pointed it out, I can't help but notice that kind of stuff. And I was like, it has increased my enjoyment of this sumptuousness that is Downton Abbey. Because before it was like, it's neat, whatever.
But, neat.
Yeah. But now it's like, look at that. Oh, very nice. I mean, so many outfits of Edith's today.
Edith opened in bright red. Bright red walking through the park. She had bright red lips and a red dress. And then Mary's off in her like soft creams and grays.
Yes.
She's softened and Edith has blossomed.
Yeah,
it's so great.
And I especially love at Brancaster when the Lord Grantham and Cora came and they greeted Mrs. Birdie. Mom Birdie. And then they turn around and they say, oh, here's Edith. And she gets an entrance. How often does
and
Edith get an entrance?
And she even did the little, like, you can't see him, but, you know, hands out to the side.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Here I am.
It was terrific.
It was great.
Little did she know what was coming in a little bit. But.
All right. Now we get into the details. Let's get into the Edith story because, we bemoaned like crazy that she's poor Edith. And we're going, is she ever going to happiness. So, and then, very soon, right out the get out, she's saying these things about, oh, I'm a spinster. I'm supposed to be alone.
Yeah, I'm a spinster, aren't I? Spinsters live alone.
Yeah, exactly. And she's been, what is it? She's hasty as a glacier. So, they're painting it, of course, reminding us like crazy that, she's never had any happiness and stuff like that. And then, when she first finds out that, her aunt, has set up this thing at the Ritz.
Rosamond.
Yeah, exactly.
Dinner at the Ritz. I'd like to be invited to dinner at the Ritz.
Ritz, right?
Anybody? Anyone? Hello? Is this thing on?
I just like the moment when she turns to Rosamond, are you leaving?
And yes, she's like, absolutely.
most certainly, or whatever she said. That was so funny.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Awkward.
Yeah, exactly. And she just looked horrible. Not horrible. She just looked so sad when she said things like, you broke my heart. And, when she's talking to Birdie.
And she goes,
I understand it and everything, but,
But she was so strong about it, too, though.
Yeah, because she knew that was how it was. That was how it was going to be.
That's how it's going to be. She didn't, immediately melt. Like, oh, my God, you want to see me? Thank you. I'm so glad. Like, she didn't become that pitiful person.
And if I were to agree, and that's a big if, and all those kinds of stuff, and it was great, But because they were... I mean, they set it up. Julian set it up so nicely. And then they started. I just got to get to it quickly. When the wedding's happening, and I'm going, oh man, oh man, because
like
you just don't
like expect the road down the hill.
The anticipation,
right, the wedding.
Yeah, she's so happy. They've been painting it like crazy.
I've never been happy before in my life.
And you're just waiting for the other shoe to fall, right?
Is he not going to show up?
Yeah, exactly.
Is what's his name? Grigson going to suddenly reappear? Yeah, like, exactly. What's going to happen?
Because all of those things, and all our YouTube viewers and our Twitter fans, everybody was talking about it. And there were so many opportunities for it to go. And even a few people in the UK got to watch it before I did. And so they were tweeting me and going, it ended, you know, they would let me know like a little bit. Then they would say, you know, it ended happy, even for Edith, in the best way it could. So I was like, what does that mean? And I'm really glad that they said it that way because I had anticipation through the entire thing.
But wasn't that terrific the way he laid that out? Because, I mean, at the wedding, you're going, oh my God.
I was so sure when Lord Grantham, I believe it was, asked her, is it because you're not over Grigson or whatever he said?
Loyalty to Grigson.
Are they about to introduce, what? No, right? Do not ruin this because they're going to, and I'm like, why would he bring that up?
Do
what's going to happen?
Wreck it.
Exactly. Why would he bring that up?
Talking about her wrecking her own happiness and that. And I was like, man.
And here she is, you know, and I thought it was great that she told
me. I did. I thought it was really, Julian Fellowes at his finest, really laying it out. Go ahead.
Well, as she's talking to Mrs. Pelham, or Lady Pelham, excuse me.
Yeah.
And she's, I'm going, don't. You don't have to be honest.
Weren't you shouting at the TV?
I'm going, no, shut up. Just get married.
He doesn't want to tell his boss. That's his job.
What about that British decorum?
Yes.
None of our business.
Now, you didn't want to tell Bertie for the longest time. Now you want to
tell everybody.
So,
right, but, and what she was saying, this, you know, if you're going to be successful as the Marquesa is the wife and the Marquess. So a moral center for the area, moral man leading by example, because Cousin Peter's morality was not
if you are
to make a success here, you can't afford to put a foot wrong. To which Lord Grantham says, Golly. I mean, they see the whole weight sitting there, right?
Wonderfully set up. And then, you know, the fact that she says something and then I'm going, don't.
Like, why are you doing this?
But I appreciate it, too. I'm going, no, she learned her lessons from the Bertie thing, you know. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, I'm going to say this and get this, you know, out on the carpet.
Completely real.
You know, put the cars down. All of it was great. But then at the wedding, I'm just going, at every moment. I mean, even the whole thing about it, forever hold your peace.
That light from the door. Somebody's about to appear in the doorway.
And even Bertie, as he's standing there, he's like, forever hold your peace. He's like,
I have expected Mary to go,
actually.
So are we going to talk about the Bertie and Mrs. Pelham and Edith?
Yeah, we're talking everything, but
you look like you're going somewhere.
The only thing I wanted to say before, because we just went to the wedding, is how great was that shot, the backlit of Edith when she's coming down the aisle and she's all backlit and haloed. Mm-hmm. It was just gorgeous.
And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
It's the last time you walked down
cheers
the aisle.
To, cheers to
well.
That,
yeah,
right? Like, cheers.
So poor Edith, no poor Edith anymore. So, and you know, the whole...
Not poor in any way.
Not poor. Exactly.
She's wealthy all around.
Good for her. Congratulations. So she did get it all. She got the magazine.
She got her baby, her magazine.
Yeah, she got the whole
her
thing.
Man, her man. And her castle.
Checks.
Yeah. And, you know, again, checks. Wrapped up. I didn't care. I don't care if it's wrapped up as long as it's told well. It was told well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There was enough conflict and drama in it that it was great.
I appreciate it.
All right, so you want to...
So the scene with Edith and Bertie, first of all, saying, you know, do you really want to tell her? And she's like, my position hasn't changed from when we broke up, essentially.
Yeah.
So then Edith in with Lady Pelham.
Yeah.
First of all, that room was interesting. No, the room where Bertie and his mom talked was interesting. Yeah. It was a library. Did you see the giant volumes on the floor?
Yeah.
Yeah, so interesting. And I'm assuming that's at Brancaster Castle.
Probably.
So the Edith and Lady Pelham's
conversation. Yeah.
Well,
they cut away of it. It was nice. They didn't go into it because we didn't have to hear it again. But,
right, because we heard it before with Bertie saying she's damaged goods.
Yeah, that was
And
just,
she ouch. Knows it. Yeah. And she's ruled out of the running. Mm. So there was, like, there was no ambivalence there. She was very clear on her position. And it was exactly... Oh, this is the line that I think you liked so much, John. Her sordid revelations...
Yeah.
Oh, what did she fragrant. Say? Oh, more fragrant. Fragrance. That's it. Make her sordid revelations more fragrant.
Yeah, I was like, wow, nice
That's
line.
That's one way to say it.
Very, very nice line.
Well, well, well.
Yeah, but he stood up to his brother, so Bertie, way to go. Good for you.
Right, and said, like, this is it. I guess this is it.
And then I thought it was great at the dinner when they had the 50 guests, whatever. Every time I talk about it, it was 30, then it was 40, now it's 50. Exactly.
It just keeps going.
And the fact that, you know, Bertie's waiting for mom to say something, she doesn't, he decides to, and then mom interrupts, and it's like.
Oh, and Lord Grantham going, you need to say your piece now. The tension was fabulous.
The politics of it all.
That was definitely a butt
Say something now or you'll lose him forever. What's that?
I said, that's definitely a butt squeeze moment. You're like, is she going to say it? Wait, what's going to happen?
The poker factor was high.
Yes.
Yeah, and then, and even the toast was lukewarm at best, I guess, but she did what she needed to do. Yeah, it was great. So that was, you know, good for her. And the, but more importantly, there's the scene afterwards.
The after dinner
when she
scene.
Yeah, and they're all sitting there, you know,
Cora and Grantham and Edith, and Cora saying, "I'm amazed.
Yeah.
I'm positively amazed."
And then what she had to say, what Lady Pelham had to say about her, Edith afterwards, it's just, you know, and then Cora saying, "I'm finally someone who's able to work that out."
I love that. I have been waiting for someone to work that out.
Yeah,
loved it. Right. So, Lady Pelham was saying, "I'm afraid that's a reflection of me. Your amazement," and then said, "Am I to deny myself of a daughter who is entirely and unimpeachably honest?"
Yeah.
What a beautiful thing to
that
say.
Was great.
I was completely surprised. You guys?
Yeah, I was.
Did
I
you
thought
see that
I thought they were going to hold it a little longer. I thought they were going to have, okay, so they'll be together. And
mom,
you know,
is never going to be like
exactly.
fine with it.
Which, and I'd have been fine with that too. But to have her make that turn so quickly and have it work, I was well, that, and kudos to the actress who
it
did
all.
It because I thought she handled that extremely
well.
Yes.
So everything is settled.
Yeah.
Well, everything but.
Yeah.
You need to kiss me.
My face right now. Wow, right in front of your mom and dad.
Yeah. I liked it.
Whoa,
I
was like, whoa, so much emotion.
I liked it.
What's going on?
I thought it was
going
to be like, oh, thank you, I love you. No, they like, you know.
There were kisses all around, which leads Courtney and me to fill up our glasses. Part of my job.
All right. So, but let's continue that because we obviously, after the wedding was such great moments too. We had everybody at High Claire. I'm sorry, Downton Abbey. Sorry. Slipped out. And again, it was just so grand and glorious to watch, and everybody there, and everybody's reaction to everything, and
just
such a pleasure.
Lovely.
Wasn't it?
Absolutely. You know, we've seen the wedding drop down, you know, the walk down the stairs. But and we talked about it a little bit, but just, I mean, there was that, I was dying to take a screenshot and tweet that picture of Edith standing on the stairs with her veil.
Yeah.
Like draping like that. Wasn't that so beautiful?
It was
and the flowers.
Extremely well composed. Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then we have the Christmas tree in the, like, original portion of the house, that Abbey area.
The tiny foyer.
The tiny foyer. And Rose arrives.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was a great welcome back. I mean, that was...
It was such fun.
Resurgence,
so
such charge brought to the
energy
episode as well. It was, yeah, the energy was amazing.
No baby
pictures.
Mm-hmm. And then just the way everybody greeted her, and they had all these little moments in there,
exciting.
And then it was terrific. Yeah, and then, of course, she wants to go downstairs to see everybody
else.
Which is so sweet.
Yeah,
and who was it who made the comment? Rosamund, who said, you know, her, I know she's a mom and a wife, but her sort of exuberance is still there.
And she thanked him, saying that the husband is doing his job.
Because
she hasn't changed.
Yay. So look, they're still in love, too.
I loved it. And then she went and got all the gossip downstairs.
All the, yes, exactly.
Yes. Everybody.
little expos here or there. But it was,
I thought that was a really great way to get out the exposition, you know? Mm-hmm. So tell me who you are and tell me what's what. And because, you know, I mean, I might as well talk about now, but the ratings were excellent for this show. And quite frankly, I know people, one of my friends sent me an email telling me that everyone died in the end. and the aliens come in and smoke the place or something like that.
It all on fire.
And I happen to know he's watched like 3 episodes of Downton Abbey ever, but watched this one. So the ratings were really high for this. My point being that getting the expos out in places like that catch the people up who might be first or second time watchers.
Mm-hmm. Don't remember everything.
Late joiners. Mm-hmm. Whatever. We've been here from the beginning.
And then we had Cinderby, Lord Cinderby. Okay.
Lord Cinderby. And sort of interesting reminder.
Is it, am I right on that? That's Rose's dad, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Reminder of her mother.
Situation. Situation. Yeah. Why mom didn't get the baby name either.
Yeah, exactly. Or wasn't invited to the wedding, apparently. Staying in India, enjoying Indian summers.
It happens all the time.
So we had, all right, well, congratulations to Edith, the Marquesa. Yeah.
The Marchioness.
Now let's go to the other sister because we got a lot to cover here.
Yeah, okay, just quick apology about any of getting any of that stuff wrong. We appreciate the corrections. We apologize for the mistake. There's a lot going on in all of our heads.
But we're moving on to Mary because all this wonderfulness for Edith is due to her to a large degree. She's the one that made the call.
Put her nose down and made
quickly,
a phone
I would just like to talk about Imogen, one of our fans, who said months ago, I think that it is quite clear that Edith will marry Bertie, but I would really like to think that Mary has something to do with it. Prediction win.
Right on top of it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have a few more of those that I'll be mentioning.
Okay. So she's the one that makes the call and sets it all up and gets Rosamond to help out and gets that scene rolling. And that's terrific. So, and it all comes from Granny, something Granny says. So, which is nice. So, Violet there. But despite all that, let's talk about her. And they seem very happy together,
she
and Henry.
Happy. She's so
very
soft and
well
cushy.
Suited.
She's just like, honey, I love you.
I love you. Do you know how much
so
I love
you?
If you
want to
be a
bum in the bed and do nothing, I don't care. I love you. I was just like, who is this woman? Who just a few episodes ago was like, he's beneath me. I need to at least have somebody that has some money and all my levels. She's like, no, honey.
I love you.
You do nothing.
I love you.
Hang out and I love you anyway.
I love you.
Good for her. Very proud of you, Mary. Very proud
of you. We are.
Please continue. This is very good.
John finds us delightful.
Because she literally was lounging with him. So they lounged across the bed. When they were outside having drinks, she was lounging on the rocks or whatever that was, where he was over there all intensely thinking. And she just laid out. Like, honey, it's
And also, do you want to go for a walk?
Yeah. She's very comfortable.
But obviously he feels like he needs to do something because he wants someone to feel worthy of her.
As a
rightful.
What a sweet way of putting it. I mean,
there's
know,
a duty, all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
yeah. It's not. I mean, I sort of disagree with feeling worthy of her, but I understand the time is different than it is now. But
I understand it.
But I think it's incredibly sweet of him. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got to get a job, was, if you remember, when Matthew talked about having a job, not like, that many years ago, people were like, "Huh?
Who needs a job?"
Yeah, and so it's quite resourceful and.
And like he put it, he said, it's not about, like, all that. It's about me. I don't want you to have to explain me.
Right.
And I was like, that's a beautiful way to say that. Because people would be like, well, what is he doing? And he doesn't even want, even if she's fine with it, he doesn't want to put her in that position.
Yeah. Right. And she just loves him. Incredibly thoughtful. And she loves him for it.
I love you, honey. I love you.
Right,
don't want to
any more grace. But he ends up with Tom selling used cars.
Which was really hilarious.
My God.
I did not expect her to make a turnaround when she saw it. Her face was like,
amazing.
What is this?
Well, and I was going, wait, is he?
Really?
Is he, as they're going to Talbot and Tom, the building, I'm going, what the hell?
I mean, I guess that's smart, but because, that's tacky.
I mean, the way they're, you know, because he wants to stay in the, he loves cars or transport, as he says. And I'm going, well, what's he going to do? So in my head, I'm going, what's he going to do? Sell cars? You know,
restore and sell them. Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a secondhand car dealer.
Well, you got a mechanic and a chauffeur.
Mary definitely double played that because her face was definitely saying, oh, hell no. And then she said, I'm delighted. This is the best thing ever happened in my life.
I'm proud.
I'm so proud of you.
And pregnant.
Yes, I'm proud and pregnant.
I loved, you know, when I, both times when I watched this, because I watched it twice, you know, I'm so proud. And I went, oh my God, she's, and then she was like,
you knew?
I did.
You could do it in that moment, huh?
And I just think it was absolutely Michelle Dockery's, you know, portrayal of that moment. Yeah. It was incredibly sweet. And, okay, hello, the next conversation. But we can't tell anyone. It's a secret.
We don't want to steal her thunder.
Thank you. We don't want to steal Edith's thunder. And Tom
does not want to steal the thunder of Edith.
Always. And Tom's response, well, that's just an answer for a happy ending right there. Or something like whatever he said.
He's like, basically.
Right? Didn't you love that?
Oh, yes. And, you know, because I know you guys
She's
are sisters, I was looking to you for that. How important that was.
It was huge.
Yeah, it was that, not enormous. Only that. But then later when he says, oh, you guys got to be best friends. And
I
she
know.
Says, well, not exactly.
Yeah, best friends, but saying, we are blood.
Yeah.
And sisters have secrets.
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yeah. And I was, the whole time I'm going, I can't wait to find out what Courtney and Tamara say about that.
First of all, Courtney and I have secrets between us.
Yeah, I know.
That none of you boys know about. Because we do.
Oh,
just
right.
Because. We're okay. Podcast sisters.
Podcast sisters, yeah.
Plus, we've known each other for a really long time.
Yep.
And we both have sisters, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
We get that.
But wasn't that a great moment, though, to see that? And it was, and again, I don't think that was wrapped up nicely in a book.
No.
Because even Mary and Edith have their scene where she says, you know, why? And yeah, Mary
right,
has
sort
that
of
great
let's
line.
Try.
It was over and let's try to do better or whatever it was.
Yeah, because you know it's not going to go easy.
No.
I mean, they're going to still have their
You're
difficulties.
You're not going to suddenly
like
love
that.
Her to death.
Yeah, but it's interesting when you see a character come to the moment where they realize, you know, I got to stop doing it this way and choose another
it's
way.
Not working.
It doesn't mean it's going to be easy at all. It doesn't mean there's still going to be fraught with problems.
I'm not going to do it every time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
but I'm going to have that in my head as the, you know, which is great. It was a wonderful moment to see. You know, and moving on from this, we also see it in Thomas.
Yes.
We had the same kind of moment. Obviously, he's been through a lot, and you know he has his ordeal and the thing he overcomes and the help he gets from people to survive
and
what
he recognizes and appreciates that somebody actually cares about him and cherishes
and
him.
Took ownership of the part that he had a role in the play in the fact that he brought some of this on himself and all that kind
and
of stuff.
And longer was not okay that he didn't die.
Yeah.
He won me back again.
He did. He got a new job. Okay, so, you know, there was this sort of balance that was going on.
Right.
Mostly between Carson and Thomas, but also between Carson and, I mean, between Thomas and the other characters where, you know, they give a little and take a little, give a little and take a little.
Yeah.
But one of the moments that I thought was really lovely and I appreciated seeing it so much was when Thomas it was revealed that Thomas had a new job and Carson said you deserve it you know which was incredibly generous for Carson to do because
and it only took an attempted suicide to get there
only near death
because
multiple times
he probably would
death.
Not have said that had
probably
it been
not
different.
Yeah. But
yeah.
Deservedly so
exactly but it was a nice moment
well and you know when he's actually leaving was it Mrs. Patmore said I don't know if you're a good thing or a bad thing
yeah but we've been together a long time
but we've been together a long time and there's something to say for that and he's like well, on that moving note,
I'll take that
I'll check the
go.
Dining room. Yeah,
but and Anna cautioning Bates, going nothing ungenerous.
Yeah.
So I mean, everybody knows how careful this balance is that we all have to
is.
Strike
it's
with Thomas.
Totally
tenuous
fake,
alliance,
which was nice. Like,
yeah,
he was honest,
and it's, that's what real life is like. Yeah. Sometimes things are not clear cut.
I know you're shady. But
yeah, exactly. And
we
hope you do turn over a new leaf.
Yes,
but.
Actually.
Yeah. But I thought, it was handled well. I also loved, you know, I mean, I'm assuming a lot of people figured it out that, you know, he'll end up, you know, taking over. As soon as Carson saw
of
the tremor.
Oh, would you like to say who?
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Nico Dov, 1181. I don't know your actual name, but she is the one who said Thomas will be the last butler standing. And we talked about it on the podcast. This is many months ago, but she said, so she predicted that Carson would actually die. Mm. And Thomas the evil butler, who's becoming the good butler, will be promoted to head butler in Downton, at Downton. And someone else actually put it as Thomas being the last butler standing, but I couldn't find it in my notes. I'm sorry. Yeah, but you also get kudos for a great prediction.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, regardless of me being able to see it or whatever, it was still, I just like that, you know, he, because, you know, for weeks now he's been looking for a new job. He gets a new job. He gets there. He's the butler. But it's just, there's nobody
there. He recognizes the joy that he actually had around him.
Yeah, clearly it's always easier to see what you miss or what you have once you miss it.
Once
and
no
he's
gone.
He's still humble about it.
Yeah, he was. But I just like to be in that place.
In the tiny
there's
house.
There's nobody there.
There's nobody to talk to. Oh, I'm the only butler?
Hello. And let's face it, he wasn't likely to have that job for long.
That's true. Crotchety old man is like, it ain't 1855. He's like, you got a job.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was 1855.
Exactly. Thank you.
So,
but
yeah.
Great.
But even the way when he came back at the, we're at the reception, so to speak, for the wedding, and, you know, Carson, of course, can't pour, and Barrow steps up. No, I'm just, and he says, no, I'm here to, I want to help.
He's like, no,
he says, no, you're here as a guest. That was another nice moment. You're here as a guest. And he goes, no, but I want to help. And I thought it was just great. It was, you know, and again, it's very wrapped up in synchronicity and all that stuff. But I don't care.
But I
like the way it worked.
It's people acting at their best. You know, him not going, screw you, you're right, like, bring me another glass. You know, which in theory he could have. And, you know, Carson being generous all the way around.
And
with,
I don't want to twist you.
I don't want to twist your arm, and I don't want to. What was the other?
No, he said twist your arm. I don't want to force your hand.
Force your hand or twist your arm, because there was a hand and an arm involved. I remember that much.
It's a nice turn of phrase.
Back up just a little bit when Thomas was leaving.
Oh,
can we talk about that?
Saying goodbye to everybody. The two times. The first time, saying goodbye to Lord Grantham and then Cora. And, you know, and it says, and again, the generosity he showed Baxter about, look, if I've learned anything, you know, you need to put Coyle behind you as well.
Right. I loved
that's
that conversation.
Parting gift to you.
Yeah, that conversation of, you know, don't let him have power over you, and don't let your, sort of don't let
don't
your,
let
past
your past
define
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's what he's going through, which
for
is great.
For both of them.
You know, wonderful. And then when he's outside and they're, you know, because they have to go to Brancaster, so the moments he had with Cora and Lord Grantham there, and just the...
I came as a boy.
Yeah, it looked authentic. Yes. Yeah, exactly. All those kinds of things, and Lord Grantham sees something different, and so it was nice. It was just good. Yeah.
And wait, who kissed him when he was leaving finally?
Mrs. Hughes. Give us a kiss.
Give me a kiss. I was like, oh. They crossed the full line. Like, that's like your grandma being like, you know what? I know you want some crap. Give me a kiss. Shut
give
up.
Give me
come
a
here.
Kiss.
Get over here. And he needed it.
Yes, he did.
Because he's so cold and needs to feel love.
And then Mary brings the kids.
Oh, the kids.
Who love him. Mr. Barrow.
George. No, you can't stay.
It's a hug from Simi.
That's great.
And then he had to rush off because he was about to cry.
There were a lot of almost tears from a lot of men. Manly men, but still men who have tears.
Hey, man, I got me. I was crying.
You know, I think it's actually showing in the showing in the U.S. right now, the protocol special that they did where they had the protocol expert who's on set. And he talks about how nobody touched each other. There were no hugs. Yeah. There were no handshakes. There was none of that. And so... with that in mind, to see the kiss, to see the handshake between Barrow and Lord Grantham was kind of momentous, both just from a like germ standpoint as well as a status standpoint was really something special. And, you know, all of the generosity, which is actually the word that they use, but the generosity between Thomas and Carson, Carson and Thomas, you know, it was just really lovely and we liked it.
And I also like the fact that, you know, it was the out for Carson that he needed. Because he would still be
able to
be there, have his pension, all that other stuff.
Downstairs, Lord of the Manor.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a great, you know, not, and I don't expect that pairing to go easily either, but it's terrific.
But he's humbled. I think he's humbled enough to be like, Carson, I get it. Like, I know who you are.
Yeah.
You know who I am. Like, I get it, and it would be fine. But can I just say, I was in love with Mary again because her genuine emotion about, like, being worried about Carson.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's going to be fine. Like,
like, no, we're going to figure this out. It's going to be just fine. Yeah. And it was just so precious because really he still, even though he knows he has a special like relationship with Mary, he still thinks in his like structured mode, like it's not your job to worry about me and make sure I'm taken care of and like all of that. But she was still in it and
she was
really
worried.
Yeah, yes. She was very concerned. Yeah.
He's her second father.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Love.
It was nice. Well, since we're talking about Carson, let's keep going with that.
Because,
you know, obviously that is a huge thing. So did Damn You cut the trimmer the first time when you
I did,
the
very first time. I was like, oh, yeah.
I was like, yeah, when that happened, I go, interesting, why they... Oh.
Oh, we're annoying.
Yeah. And then it kept going. I go, would you stop trying to pour things? We get it.
Yes. Speaking of pouring
but
things.
But I did think he was going to die. I
what's
was
that,
like,
you
oh,
thought?
Did you?
Gonna, well, once, because I never thought he was going to die. I thought Violet was going to die.
Right.
But, like, when
you thought somebody was going to die.
As soon as he had his little, like, thing, I was like, oh, he's going to have a heart attack and fall on the table
or something.
Like, just like when the random Lord Grantham throw up at the table. Like, it was going to be something shocking and awful, and it was going to be tragic.
Yeah. The only thing that stopped me from thinking that is they go, no, it's Christmas special. They're not going to kill anybody.
Yeah, they've had enough of the Christmas special.
Yeah, they did that once. They got killed for it.
Yeah, exactly. Where's the tragedy?
Yes.
So. It was the fake tragedy. With Lord Merton, but whatever.
And Mrs. Hughes notices right away. Yeah. She notices the first time she sees it. It comes up again. And finally, what are you going to tell me about it? Yeah. So it's the palsy.
Yeah. It's the palsy. Nothing I can do about it.
Exactly. And he reveals that his father and his grandfather both had it. And they seem to both have butlers. Were they both butlers? Or whatever?
And it ended their career.
Yeah, exactly.
I liked Mrs. Hughes' comment of ignorance is not bliss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, kind of calling back to her health scare and her coaching Mrs. Patmore to hers, you know, because there was a little, I don't want to know about it with hers. And but she was going to be the proactive wife in this one. So did we already talk about Last Butler Standing? Yeah. Okay. So, sorry. I'm juggling things.
That's right. But what I appreciated about that storyline, you know, of course we're going to go back and forth on tell him or tell me not, and who are they going to reveal it to and stuff. And but I thought they revealed it the way it needed to come and stuff. And all I cared about at the end, after this, all this storyline, was that he found a place. And then at the end, when they were talking to each other, I just loved when she says Charlie and he calls her
Elsie. Charlie and
that,
Elsie.
That was done. That's when I finally like actually cried, because like the whole time I was like, oh my god, oh my god, Charlie Carson,
Charlie.
That broke me.
It's hysterical because I'm trying to go through the storyline, and I don't really care about the storyline because the only moment I really cared about was that one with Charlie.
Well, and it harkens back to the other season ender where they finally held hands at the beach. So they're clearly part of the heart of the entire series.
And all it took was them to call each other by their first name. Because remember the big hullabaloo they had? What are we going to call you, Mrs. Hughes? We have to call you Mrs. Carson.
Oh, gracious.
And
then
use their first names. That's right.
They're people, too.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
Oh, great.
Yeah, no, I loved that. I loved it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And then we'll have some sort of life after that, which is great. That was a wonderful little tie-in.
You know, and just kind of to speak in practical terms, he obviously knows things like the proper wines. We've talked about Carson, you know, doing that. And sort of like, you know, when we're playing dominoes at my house and we don't know the rules, we call my dad. You know, it's that thing of, you know, things that don't come up that frequently. Carson is going to be the...
Yeah, Thomas is going to, hey, how do I...
Probably not like this.
Probably not like that. Like this.
Slowly. Exactly. So it's kind of the perfect...
well, you need
know,
that
solution.
Butler emeritus. You need him.
The butler emeritus.
You need that.
I
exactly.
Love it.
All right. Well, speaking of emeritus, let's move on to Violet and Isabel.
Oh my God!
How I love the old lady gang.
Don't you love them?
The old lady gang.
That's it.
That was fantastic.
It's like the Grey Panthers, man.
I aspire to be one of them.
I literally wrote that down.
Okay, you, guys, you and me, Courtney, we will.
I literally wrote it down. Like, I want to be to them get when there, I grow up. Yeah.
All right, we'll chat about it in a couple decades.
But it starts out, of course, she gets notified. She gets asked out to tea for some reason by Lord...
And then it gets canceled.
Yeah, Lord Merton's son.
Right,
Larry.
Right, Isabel.
And she agrees
right.
to it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, that gets canceled because of some...
Something.
A mystery.
And then they go away.
And Lord Merton stops talking. And of course, we find out, of course, that he's been diagnosed with anemia.
Pernicious anemia.
It's like, yes. oh.
Which back then was a death sentence.
Right. Yes. And so that puts a pallor over everything. And
that's awful.
We have to deal with that. And then, of course, Crookshank, no longer Crookshank, but what's her name?
Amelia.
Yeah. I didn't even know. Lady
so-and-so now. I don't even know that name.
Merton Gray.
I just
whatever.
Like to call her Crookshank because I love the name. Yeah. And she is Crookshank to me. So
gnarly
she's like
name.
Crookshank.
Couldn't
you
remember the name.
Exactly.
Just called her Biatch. All over my notes.
Lady Biatch.
Yeah, okay. Like, why are you so mean?
Oh, she was terrific, though.
She was amazing.
I thought she was just absolutely wonderful.
She was fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, and there were all these machinations earlier in the season about her. You know, we need you, and obviously that came back.
You.
But she played a really good version of that. Logan Barry Trifle talked sort of about... the prediction was Lord Merton was using Crookshank to get Isabel back.
Uh-huh.
So that's not quite right, okay. but a close prediction on that.
Kind of fun one.
So when they go to Dr. Clarkson to talk about everything, and they're leaving, and that's when we first see Crookshank, and she meets up with him. I just thought the way she
in the street
took
the street
over.
Scene,
yeah,
yeah.
She took
like,
over.
Get in the car.
I was like. And
who
I'm going,
are you?
You're a lord, Merton.
Yes.
Do something.
Stand
why?
Up and he's such
exactly.
A nerd.
Wasn't there some serious, like, bitch slapping you wanted to do there?
Yeah. Oh,
I
God,
mean.
Yeah. And Isabel's
like. You're not
like,
dead yet.
Oh, yeah. And, but, you know.
But I also noted when they came out and they were talking to Clarkson there and then they walk out, Isabel was very strong about her love for Merton right in front of Dr. Clarkson, and they were like, just kind of like, come on, honey, and walked, and I was like, oh, Clarkson is not sensitive no more? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, couldn't you hold that moment?
I mean, just a like, little...
That was a little overt expression of
affection. Especially for the English.
Yeah.
I guess when you get a sentence of death, maybe it moves things along faster.
Anymore, yeah.
One of my favorite moments in that whole storyline was when Isabel finally gets to see Lord Merton on her own, and he tells her that he's sick, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he says, I have pernicious anemia. He's resigned to die. And he says, I should have liked to have been married to you.
Yeah. Like, I've had a great life. Everything was wonderful. But I would have liked to have married you.
Yeah.
But anyway, that scene in the street with Crookshank and Isabel, I just thought it was a great scene. So obviously she tells Violet all about this, and Violet's like, oh, no.
We're not doing this.
She's not letting other people tell her what to do.
No.
I'm sorry, I forgot to say that she goes back to see him, and she gets the door shut in her face.
Slammed in her face.
Yes.
I was like, whoa, nice. And then she goes to Violet, and Violet's going, she says, what am I going to do, run upstairs?
Exactly what she said, right?
No, they didn't. And if it doesn't work, what does she say, politeness?
Reason doesn't work. Yeah, and then I was like, oh, this is going to be good.
I couldn't wait. I was waiting.
Exactly.
She's going to go with her cane.
Yeah, we see the Grey Panthers show up. And they're just barging their way in. I thought it was just great.
Lord Merton hears voices. I heard your voice.
It was wonderfully shot, too. I thought it was staged well, being the whole thing coming down the stairs. And all the crazy
stuff. I loved him wearing a shirt and a tie with his robe.
Yeah. It's like, how bad can he feel?
Yeah.
Take the damn tie off, and then I'd feel better. And that's the language there. And then the fact that, she says that you're coming to my place, and by the way, we're going to get married.
Oh, yeah.
Take your stuff. Take that.
Yeah, Crookshank's going, no, she's
trying to steal you. And he's like, you can have it all. Shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Perfectly marvelous.
Moving
perfectly
it along.
Marvelous. Oh, just great.
Perfectly marvelous.
And of course, Violet needing the last word.
To marry him.
I know, but Violet needing to have the last word, he says it's perfectly marvelous, and who can argue with that?
Yes.
It was terrific.
Mm-hmm. Smiles, stars, hearts, the whole thing.
Yes. I love
just
the old
so
lady.
And Larry Gray, standing there going, as
Larry,
well.
As my son, I love you, but I tried, and I failed to like you.
Yeah, and it was great because, you know, they gave it all up because they don't need the damn
And again,
thing.
Perfectly fine solution.
Yeah.
Isabel's house is very comfortable.
They just want each other.
Wallow in their misery, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, let them
whatever she
live
says,
at opposite ends of that house shouting at each other.
Yeah.
The scene where Isabel and Violet were talking and sort of where Violet resolved to use force.
Right.
And Isabel was saying, you know, I understand that it's a diagnosis and everything, but I just keep finding myself bursting into tears.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And then,
Violet
did
says.
I say Isabel that? Yeah, and Violet says, but of course you are because you're in love.
And she's like, really? What?
Yeah. Am I? Even? Mm-hmm. Did I? What?
And then they kept talking and she said, has the love with Violet, with the...
The prince
Karan. And then she's like, I'm not going to reveal that. Like,
yeah. Just staying herself.
You know
right?
me well enough that I don't answer anything more incriminating than,
exactly.
Do I need a new rug?
Do I need a new rug? Right, just staying themselves and,
but
you know, delightful
really supporting each other, being there for each other the way we want them to
they're
be.
They're besties. Let's just face it, right?
They'll go head-to-head again.
They are.
Even at the end there, we're talking about they're toasting the new year and they have their moment.
Right, so Caroline wrote to me earlier today saying that was her favorite moment of the episode when they talk about every year...
We get to toast to the future.
Yeah, exactly. Whether or not... It makes me smile the way every year we drink to the future, whatever it may bring. Well, what else could we drink to? We are going forward into the future, not back into the past, which has been the theme of the entire series from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And then Dowager, if only we had the choice. Right?
She's still the same.
Okay, well, I have to say, my favorite moment with Violet was at the wedding when she's talking to Rosamond. She says, what is it about the
English?
What is it about the English? It's American.
Opinions vary.
Some people
say it's our history.
But I think it's the weather.
Yep, it's the weather.
It's definitely the weather.
Well, you know, because
I think I'd be a much different person in that weather.
If I was living there, for sure.
Yeah, and there's the talk of, you don't like the weather, just wait, it'll change.
Yeah.
You know? But it'll probably always be gray.
Such a joy to watch them fight together.
Just
because,
wonderful.
You know, for much of the series, we've seen them fight each other.
Yes.
But it's always been great when I get to see them having a joint enemy and they get their joint voice.
Yeah.
It just delights me to see the two of them together.
Agreed.
They're formidable, those two.
And they have mutual respect for
And it's kind of like, in a way, that is a sisterly thing, too. It's like, I can fight with my sister all I want.
But you can't mess with my sister.
Exactly.
Yep.
And
that's what
I loved about that. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and let's move on to Lord Grantham and Cora, because obviously he's still pissed off about the hospital situation, because that kind of feeds into how...
Violet
had a great moment with Cora about the whole, this is your kingdom, this is your village, this is your hospital, and you run it well.
Yeah, and you run it
she's
well.
Great moment.
Handed it over, passed the baton.
Do you guys remember the early scenes? I think it may have even been in season one with the whole... with the Dowager presiding over the flower show.
Yes.
There was like an orchid show, and there was a whole thing there. And so interesting to see, if you can remember back that far, to how it is now and passing the torch. It's quite a beautiful moment.
And while she comes to be okay with it, and so does Lord Grantham, in the beginning of the episode, he obviously is still pissed off about this, and so she's taking up too much time, the hospital's taking too much of her time. And then by rationalizing, by saying that because she's so nice, they're taking advantage of her.
What do you really mean, though?
Yeah, he just doesn't like the fact that time away from him.
Yes.
Clearly.
They had to grow up again.
But, you know, again, Rose, with her energy, and, you know, I love the way they wrote this, too. Julian, congratulations. She's the one that realizes, okay, look, he needs to see this because...
My parents.
I know, exactly. I know what my parents, what they went through, and you're not getting it, buddy.
To give perspective.
Let me slap you upside the head by having you see who she is and how she is out in the world in a position where... it doesn't concern you or isn't about you, and you can really see a different side of your wife that you haven't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great. I thought it was terrific, and only Rose could have done that because she charms him in a way, and the innocence about that. He just sure, fine, I'll go.
Okay, I'll take you.
Exactly.
And also how she insisted.
Well,
I mean, that was very clever how there was no way out for anybody.
How's he going to say no to her?
No, I need to be.
Exactly. And then he does. He gets to see her in a totally different light because, you know, he wants her to just be this. And then it opens his eyes to, wow, she can be so much more. And I'm the one holding her back. Yeah, he's proud. And all
that. And then he remembers how she was the administrator of the home when the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was terrific. And, you know, more opportunities for him to be proud. So and as, if you're the... Well, patriarch or something. I mean, that what a better feeling. Mm-hmm. I mean, being proud of your daughters. I mean, what they've done and accomplished, and then the household, and then of course your wife. I mean,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. And so at the end, you know, when he's saying things like he has very little to do with this. Exactly. He realized
I didn't really have anything to do with it.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But still have a right to be proud.
Yes. Exactly. And I just their storyline was fitting.
Yes.
And then they had that scene down the hallway as they're talking about everything and their daughters and
wrapping up the whole series, and all
she wants is to be able to live long and enjoy her children.
Happy life together.
Doesn't matter where, as long as we're together.
And of course, it's a Christmas episode, and I'm going, yeah, it's just what everybody's thinking that right about. Most people, before the craziness of the holidays.
Holidays, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to be with
you. And then he says, and I think we have a good chance.
Damn.
I don't. Yeah. I'm going to have to use my purse.
There you go.
My very pretty. Oh, look at you. Thanks.
Oh, go, John.
There you go.
Keeping those hankies.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was lovely.
It was.
Okay. I like that we got to something more from Cora because we had a while where it was like Cora was like randomly laying around, like
it's
making
so
comments.
True.
And it was annoying. It's like, can she be somebody? Like,
yeah. Oh, but wait, can we? This is a little bit going back, and it's about Cora. When.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Edith calls dad to tell him
that
she's engaged, right?
Yeah,
and so he comes barging into the room. What? What is it? Well,
you'll never guess.
You'll never guess.
She's pregnant.
She's pregnant. She's pregnant.
No.
She's being tried
for
treason.
No. The read on that, Elizabeth McGovern's, like, moment, because she's literally lounging in bed with her hair and all that, and the way she did those lines was freaking brilliant. It was so hilarious. And so, like, touching and funny. It was
true,
brilliant.
She's just waiting for she's waiting like the rest of us for the other shoe to fall.
We all know it's poor Edith. It's gotta be something.
She's pregnant again.
Yeah, so I just thought that was freaking brilliant. I loved it.
Yeah. And it was the whole arc there with not only Lord Grantham but with Violet. I mean, you really could see, okay, you could see. Because prior to this, I really wasn't seeing Lady Grantham as stepping into that role, but you could see that happening.
Yes. Right?
And it would be a much different village
place
than how the Dowager ran it. But
for
years,
she'd been acquiescing to, you know, Violet is in
exactly.
charge. I'm American. She probably already had an issue with that.
Yeah,
they had to get over, so they got over that. Like, I'm going to just be quiet and be okay until she's non-functional anymore.
And just with those few moments, you got to see that this is going to be a possibility for her, and that the village is going to be a different place, and that would be. And I was fascinated by how would it be different, and how would it be run if, you know, she's quote the matriarch.
And again, I mean, it was a more subtle forecasting of the future, but equally satisfying.
Yeah, because it opened that window, didn't it? I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of opening windows, let's talk about Daisy and Andrew.
Oh, my God.
Daisy.
First of all, Andrew, I got to give him credit. I mean, terrific. You know, just, you know, trying like crazy and getting nowhere and then okay, fine. I'm done.
Yeah. Kidding about getting nowhere.
She was such a pill.
She was bad. I was like, such whoa, a pill. Daisy, but you just shut him down.
She gets so snotty, but you know, she's always, she gets snotty though. And Patmore always calling
checked
her to task. Exactly, checked her like crazy. It was great. But I want to go, all right, somebody shut Daisy up or slap her, because,
please.
Yeah.
Just like with Mr. Mason in the farm, like, shut
exactly.
up. Get it together, girl. You are wrong. Please.
Yeah.
Patmore's like, you like them when they don't like you. And then when they do, you're a psychopath. Shut up and get it together.
She decides
to chop her hair off.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You could do better.
Sense.
I could do worse.
Yeah.
Mr. Mason, you could do better.
Nice. This is the second time I've heard that.
But that was great. When she's looking at him on the roof and you just see her start to melt, like, oh, he is strong.
I was a little surprised they didn't show him shirtless.
Real stuff. Okay. That was exactly. It was all over.
He could build.
He could build stuff.
Look at
him. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
And I love. And I love that Mason and Patmore are the ones like telling the young, you're dummies. Yeah, you're exactly. such dummies. Yeah, like, get it together. It was so great.
Oh, God. I can't find it right now, but one of our Twitter buddies, I mean, our YouTube buddies said, you know, it was a man. I'm sorry. I can't find it right now. I'm drinking. anyway, he said, you know, great job. Can't wait to see the Christmas special.
One thing to say.
Just have one thing to say. Daisy sucks. And it's true. She kind of did.
But she got it right.
She did.
She got it together. She got it together.
But she didn't get her hair right. That was hysterical.
The hair dryer. So we had sunglasses and a hair dryer in this season. Very exciting.
Yeah, but a hair dryer, we go, that didn't look much different than the hair dryer.
It doesn't. I was amazed by that.
It just looked bit larger and like heavier, but that's it.
I'm surprised it had a cord though, because I half expected them to light a fuse inside.
Like, have to like set it on fire.
Yeah, exactly.
But, hey, go Anna, because apparently Anna has to figure out how to be like a cosmetologist immediately, like a hair dryer. Like, you know how to brush it properly to curl it.
Because
so
that was a cute do she had.
Yeah,
she ended up with a cute do. But the bone before was amazing.
You look like Clara Bow.
The It Girl.
The It Girl.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, and we've been out of step. Let's get in step. And okay, there you go.
So it wasn't like totally like, oh my God, I love you. It was like, we're going to get it together. And then it went on.
And she gets love. And he gets love. And Mrs. Patmore gets love. And Mr. Mason gets love.
I was so happy.
We saw Mrs. Patmore blush.
I know. Yeah. She was like, I hope we're going to see more of you.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
I think you do.
You know what I mean.
I
know exactly what I mean.
Yeah,
I
think something's burning version of that. Exactly.
It was so great. Especially after her run-in previously where she got fooled into thinking she was... So Miss Patmore got love,
Miss Patmore got love. You was terrific, right?
And you get love. And you get love.
I wish we had heart confetti.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Throw some heart confetti. That's what it was.
Okay, but heart confetti. Would you throw heart confetti, Anna? Bates.
Oh, Anna Bates. Okay.
It was kind of like, for me, I was like, because they've been so, like, in the middle of everything for, like, the entire series. It was really interesting that they were just the side pieces this time around. Yeah. Like, she's pregnant. Oh, you're huge. Oh, it's about to pop out. Okay.
Oh, you brought her.
But it was cute. But when she broke her, when her water broke and Mary just looked at it and goes, oh,
your water's
broken.
Let's take off your shoes.
Okay.
I'm going to get you a nightgown. And the roles were reversed.
It was very matter of fact.
That was a great moment, though. It was like, oh, what a great little touch there. To take the time to have, like, well, let's have Mary dress
attend
her.
To her the way Anna has she's been for so many years. And they, you know, I mean, people have talked about how it was probably implausible, an implausible relationship.
Right.
But for TV, we like it.
Yeah.
You know, it was a kind of partnership. You know, they've helped each other out so many times with
Pamuk.
So many things from TV.
With the device that, you know, that got hidden.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was right and that Mary should be attending to Anna.
She's actually sleeping in her bed.
In her bed. Birth all over
birthing
the place.
Birthing in her bed.
Birthing in her bed.
Which, you know.
Yeah, that's deep.
Speaking of call
can
the midwife.
We get it downstairs?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Oh, it was great too when the water broke and then everybody's running around.
Running.
Carson's going, she's not giving birth in Lady Mary's room.
That would be undignified.
Shut up.
And they even, Lady and Lord Grantham talking about it. Oh, Violet, if Mama finds out about it.
She will, like, have a heart attack or don't tell a person. But then Lord Grantham bringing champagne upstairs.
Yeah.
What's going
He's
on?
He's bringing champagne.
He's the good serving champagne to the servers.
And a crystal glass. Thank you.
This is for you guys, and the rest of us are going to go party.
Yeah, things are really changing.
Times are changing. Yeah,
the Edwardian era is over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it was
and
good.
So
great TV.
There's a baby boy.
Baby boy.
I have a son.
I have a son. I'm a father. I have a son.
Cheers.
I mean, it didn't really get me. It didn't touch me at all.
No?
No. I think
it.
Yeah, I did. I did. Well, I think this season, even last season, he started pulling, but Julian started pulling back on their storylines, I think because of the disaster.
Yeah.
Green. Hello. Disaster. Not that I'm going to mention it again.
Exactly. But especially this year, their storylines kind of got faded.
They haven't had a storyline.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't think he knows what to do with them, or he's done with them, or I don't know what it is. But
I think it was a little bit of a stumble, but the best way he could wrap them up without.
I'm glad he did it.
Yes, they had the baby. Yeah, baby didn't die as I expected it to.
Yeah. No. But I think it's just because he just stopped running their storylines in any way that was interesting.
Just diminish them so people stop asking about it.
I've always cared for
which we will never forget, frankly.
Yeah, exactly. So,
never. Never forget.
All right, but I'm glad, you know, they wrapped that up nicely and everything like that. But the one that I like more is the Mosley Baxter.
That was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I thought Mosley had such a great series. This particular year, he had a great season.
Just the other day, I saw, because they're rerunning in the U.S. The last season, and I saw the scene where Mosley was literally digging ditches. And, he was doing the asphalting, and had fallen out so far from the house.
He lost his job at the Crawleys or Matthew's house. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
he was terrific. So desperate and just not knowing what to be or who to be or anything. And he was like the town joke at that point.
He was in his own mind,
exactly. And so to see him go through, as you say, through the series and have this resurgence of him discovering and celebrating his intellect and his opportunities and
helping Daisy with her and then getting the job and the opportunity to teach the kids, and that fiasco, it started out as a fiasco, and then he was authentic with them, and he talked about being a servant, what it's like being in the service industry.
Yeah.
I just, again, the failure in my mind of the Anna Bates storyline was picked up really with the Mosley story, because I think that to me was really the conscience and heart of the piece, because you take this hapless guy for a lot of the series, he was comic relief.
He was comic relief, and suddenly he's this learned man who deserves a chance. And you see the lost dreams and the idea that you think there's nothing else for you, and suddenly there's a whole new life opening up to you. So
even when he was saying things like, I miss my opportunities, but there's no reason why she has to. I mean, those kinds of things, and then he gets that opportunity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I thought, well, there you go.
It's never over until it's over.
Yeah, and thankfully, Julian was able to keep that part of a storyline going, since we had lost it with Anna Bates in some regard. So I just appreciated that so much that it wasn't overplayed at all. It was she offered him, you got a cottage, and you can teach,
and then you can come up on the weekend and serve some people if you want to.
And there's even that possibility of something with Baxter, Mrs. Baxter, because they never really they didn't stoke that very a lot, but they just kept it going.
Yeah,
she says he says, I hope we don't won't lose touch, and she says, we won't lose touch because
you got your own house now.
Hello.
Again, the Edwardian version of that. Yes. Whatever do you mean? So, teach me.
John goes there. Right. We got to finish this bottle.
I'm done.
You guys are driving. Yeah,
all right. You have things to do. I don't have anything to do.
That's right. 10 minutes. Okay. So, all right. But that, unless there's anything more about this episode, I just loved the grandeur of it all. I thought, for me,
wait. The episode. Yeah. Are we done? So, hold. Okay, we have to talk about Spratt and Dekker.
Oh,
we didn't talk about Spratt and Dekker.
Okay.
And nail lacquer.
The best thing ever.
It's called nude.
She's painting
That's
her
not
nails.
Going to strengthen your argument.
Exactly. Yeah.
And her shady plan that still didn't work.
Yeah, of course.
And Violet's still ahead of them all
the time. Of course.
And I was going, why does she keep Dekker around? Tammy goes, that's just for amusement.
She is amusement.
It is. She's a bit of a toy, honestly.
And when she had the magazine open to the spot, oh, what's a surprise?
Yeah, oh, look, open to the exact page.
Hilarious.
I love the moment with Spratt when he's meeting with Edith and she says, we're going to expand your colony.
Yeah.
And I especially love, and he goes, well, I have many things to say about combining
comfort and
elegance or something.
He
just folds his fingers and
Violet's now I'm gonna go to him for fashion advice.
I delight
in Spratt's delightfulness, because when he's writing and he's like so delighted to be doing it, it's great. I'm like, where did you find out? Like, how did you learn, brother?
That's hysterical.
And love tips. Like, where did that come from?
Leading his double life.
Oh
my God.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
quite silly.
Thank you for
and
reminding
funny.
Me about that. Yeah, I forgot that. That was nice. But Denker just drives me nuts because I just went.
I said she needs to get a hobby.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah, exactly.
She just has far too much time on her hands to come up with all these bad things.
Just a couple things that I see in my notes that we didn't quite talk about was the moment with Tom and Henry making flyers, I assume, for
their. With the kids.
And the kids saying, I'm working! Don't stop me! And then the other moment with the children, as they were saying goodbye to Barrow, and he says, be good, and she says, no, we won't.
The kids were adorable.
You know, and again, referring back to some of our comments, the transformation of Thomas from being the evil butler to essentially Mary Poppins now.
Yeah.
That he is.
Yeah. And, he's their nanny.
Right. So he's now he's going to be not only the butler, but he has a special relationship with them. And
like Carson, a special relationship with Mary.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And nice. I also love that Edith is sending Marigold to school.
Yeah.
Like a whole
school.
And they had a very, very short little moment with Lady Pelham.
Yep.
And she was playing with Marigold at the reception or whatever. And they're just whisping by him.
Oh, yeah. I missed it the first time and I saw it the second
time.
You got
to see Grandma playing with the grandchild. Yep. So that was nice. That was a good moment.
They did everything.
Yeah, they did.
They wrapped it all up.
The moment with Lord Grantham and Carson.
Yeah,
talking about, and they've been using this clip in the trailer for the season, saying Downton will be a very different place without you. And then Carson saying, no one could pray for a good fortune,
pray more for your good fortune than I.
And we are grateful.
Mm-hmm. But that's like the commitment of your entire life to those people in a way that's just so foreign to us now.
Yeah. But that was very weighty.
In a certain way, yeah.
Because he has devoted his life.
And
that's what service is.
Him.
But yeah, everything was about
he
that.
He feels
but
like he's not who he is when he can't serve.
But in the same way, Lord Grantham has offered his life in the...
The duty of managing the estate.
And then, what did you say?
The duty of his title.
Of his title. And there's that whole... you know, when you are the lord of the manor, it's not just about having employees. You owe them a life in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. And it's also it's paralleled when Tom says a man is what he does.
Yes.
So,
absolutely.
Even if you don't have the title.
Absolutely.
That's true.
In the send-off with Edith tossing her bouquet.
Guess who called it? Branson's new boo.
All right. And Mr. Henry 84 on YouTube said, I would like to see Tom and editor Laura end up together.
Yep.
We
boom. Yes, you get a love. And they get a love.
When they were racing at the racetrack. Love bud.
Another prediction that came true was Pepsi Leva said, Tom starting a business.
Yep.
Smart.
So he does. I think I caught all of those. I have a million shout-outs.
Before we do the shout-outs, I want to talk about... All right, no, let's do them now, and then we'll get to the series.
Yeah. Okay, so Caroline in London, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes,
Eden Maddox.
Eden. we hope you're doing better.
Yeah.
Put it that way. Bounce back soon, be right as rain.
Fit as a fiddle, exactly. Nikodav, Eric Tull, Annabolly Drake, my pal Anna in Ireland, Elizabeth Friesch, Kathy Raisler, Alex, Imogen, who we talked about before, our YouTube buddies, Nikodav, 1181, Gator 555, Catherine Smith, Dignature 123, Downstairs, Abby, Silvana Dill, Crazy Chris, JCJ, Miss Lost Nikita, Toyon 95, Mari Mitchell, Mr. Henry 84, Reg Lovecore, Matt Lau, 63 Island Girl, Aurelia Ansa, Sam Smith, 11 JG 27 Rich, Tyler Hanisak, Ricky Ra, and Ian Armstrong. So many of you have been with us from the very beginning, and we so appreciate it. There are many others that I didn't mention, but they're in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And because I talk about them to these guys so much. I'm the one who really checks out all our social media, and we're so grateful for you guys. Do we want to talk about Call the Midwife?
Not yet. We don't want to talk about this particular thing. Just real quick.
Okay.
Since this is the finale.
John's the boss.
I want to talk about some favorite moments that you. Because here's the thing, I think this has been an outstanding show for many reasons, and it's you know, obviously we've had our issues with it, but that's with every show.
Yeah.
But by and large, it's been a terrific episode. I mean, a series entirely.
Yeah. Not just this season. No, we mean I'm talking about
overall.
It's
been a great show, and to take us to a place and a time that we don't necessarily think of or revisit often, and to immerse us so well, and I just was overwhelmed with how extensive that immersion is, and it was terrific. I mean, it really sent us to another time and another place.
There were so many areas that the level of excellence was raised to an incredibly high level, you know, costumes and writing and acting.
And keeping all those storylines. I mean, he did a fabulous job of keeping many, multiple storylines going and going, always juggling and stuff like that. And I have to say, for instance, just Sibby's death, I think, was one of the most dramatic, one of the saddest things I've ever seen on
in
TV, in film, anywhere.
Completely
and
agree.
To this day, I still think about that, and I start tearing up just thinking about it. And I thought,
I thought you were a callous bastard, John.
I am, but that got me. And to have that hold up over these, even over the years, is incredible. It's a testament to not only the writing, but the performing, everything, because that still is just.
And it's the two worlds that collided in that moment. Like Tom's world being left to figure out how to function in this world. Yeah. And they were changing. And the change over the course of the series has been remarkably lovely to watch.
And those overarching themes, I think, were really well carried out for the most part. And as you said, we did have some criticisms, but there was so much of it that was so good. Mm-hmm. In the BAFTA review, they talk about how the actors talk about how in the early seasons, one of them came to the U.S. and came back and said, you are not going to believe how the Americans love this show. and it's true. And, it, you know, it's an insight into a world that we just don't have experience of. And it was so, it has been so beautifully portrayed and really laid out for us with such attention to detail that I, for one, appreciate so much because, you know, it's those moments that, you know, there is a misstep that kind of takes you out of it. Mm-hmm. And so often within Downton Abbey, you're just completely immersed and you can kind of let go that
pretext of
of you know, you just feel like you're really there. And I think it has been done so well. And that's so much of the reason why the U.S. has embraced it. And, you know, thanks to our U.K., you know, viewers and buddies as well, because it's been brilliant. It's been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us to see into a life that we wouldn't have seen in another way.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
Any other?
Wholeheartedly. Well, my favorite moment is still, like, I believe it was when Mary finally admitted that she would marry, whatever, they were out in the snow.
That's the one. I was just, that was my other one.
All my life, and I'm so not a sap. I'm so not, like, oh my God, it's so sweet, but I'm such a sap when I saw that.
I am.
The snow was coming down, and it was just fantastic, and I will forever be devastated when we saw him dead in that car crash. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate that also because there was so much that's jarring, like Sibby's death and watching Matthew being like bloody on the side of the road and like all of that was so jarring, but at the same time, there's very few shows. I watch a lot of TV, y'all.
Yes, she does.
It's not always great TV. But what I value most, there's only one other show that I can think of right now, might be because of the champagne, but like one other show that left me wanting to know, like, I want to know what happens to these people, even though they're not real people. Yeah. Like, and for me, Downton Abbey was that. Like, I still want to see in like 10 years. Are they? is Edith going to have another baby? What's the new baby going to be like with Mary? Because it's like, and during that time, there was so much changing and happening, and you got the Depression coming, and then World War II, and like life changes so much during those times. Like, I would be fascinated. So even though it's like a fake world, and I live there, but like. In my mind, I still want to know what happens. And so Downton being literally one of the two series I can think of right now that I still want to know, like, where these people are and what
do you
want to
tell us what the other one is?
It's going to be really weird. You're going to be like, what? It's Friday Night Lights.
Oh, my God!
I'm like obsessed emotionally. Like nothing of Friday Night Lights moved me in that way that I'm like,
what's happening
so
with
connected.
Coach Taylor
exactly.
and Tammy?
Like where are they? So
anyway, side
anyway
note.
That's what I feel.
I have nice. To say, I can't really choose sure. like a main moment. William's death. With Daisy,
oh, yeah.
The you know festooning of his bed for mm-hmm. their wedding yeah. was so you know painful and so important and you know and I loved that. Watching them go through the war was so
that's right
was so. You know, seeing these Matthew as the gentleman yeah. officer,
yeah.
you know, and the trying to figure out their roles, I think was fascinating. I loved watching the sisters and their involvement, especially yeah. Edith and her, you know, coming into her own has been. As a middle sister, two of us middle sisters has been really like you know lovely yes. for us to experience, and so I just want to say that in the summation of playing Auld Lang Syne,
oh yeah,
and then with Mrs. Hughes yeah. starting the singing and Mrs. Patmore coming in, and then you know. Panning through all of the relationships and then the kisses at the end. So they did still singing Auld Lang Syne and the kisses. I loved it. I thought it was the perfect
way
no,
to
I'm silly,
wrap
but
it up.
Right, yeah. wasn't
just
it?
A nice.
And then the same.
Where Courtney and John, where Courtney and John are not the sentimentalists. I make up for it yeah. many times over.
It's true. And then all that singing, and then the over the shot of the snow. Because I was thinking the yeah. same thing with
you. That's what it came back
yeah.
to me with
yeah,
the snow. And stuff. They were out there. And
yeah.
they found it. Like,
that was
yeah.
the exact same. That was my second one.
Yeah. 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 And just because you brought up the war, I have to say, for me also when. Barrow was,
yeah.
and he
yeah.
wants
Put
to get his hand
yeah.
shot or whatever, and that was just because All Quiet on the Western Front and
yeah.
we're all like
yeah.
how horrible, like World War One, like what the hell,
yeah.
but like being in those trenches and like that, that was very difficult and
it was
fascinating and all like all kinds of feelings, like and I don't even know how to get out of my feelings about how he did
right.
that. Like,
and the repercussions of
yes.
all that and how, you know, what an amazing ride. I mean, we started off with the, you know, the sinking of the Titanic
mm-hmm.
and how that affected this. We didn't even talk about Patrick, the imposter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So many things have happened, and which is sort of funny thing for me to say if any of you have seen the BAFTA special.
Yeah.
So many things have happened, and they should make a documentary.
Yeah.
And then ending with... you know, the on the verge of this new world mm-hmm. and what's
and,
going
and
to come
next. And the
cusp
of the Depression.
Yeah.
So,
the
I mean,
Depression.
How does
with
that
that
change?
Yeah.
Next great war.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, there we go. All right.
I'm sure we've forgotten things.
Oh, well,
wait,
yeah, but we don't have, you know, we don't
we
have the
don't
studio
have
time.
All day to talk about
to,
it.
Yeah, so we got to go.
So we're talking about, we're going to do Call the Midwife, the three of us, right?
Yes.
That's the plan.
We are going to do
so
it.
So those of you who are interested in that show or
interested in strong-armed Courtney into it.
Yeah. They did. And I spent my whole holiday watching it get caught up. And I wasn't mad about it at all.
So keep an eye on Twitter, the two of ours Twitter,
yes.
and also the AfterBuzz Twitter. And we'll post it on our YouTube
yeah.
comments when we're going to start doing it. They just started the season on Christmas Day. So
we're already behind.
We're behind already, but catch up with us. Thank you guys so much.
Yes,
it's been a pleasure to watch the show. I think that's only been topped by sitting with you two and watching you guys.
Oh, John, you get love.
And hearing the thoughts and theories of our listeners and viewers out there.
I was saying to you earlier.
It's just a joy.
Yeah, the community that has been created through the show has just made me so happy, you guys. Here's to you. So happy new year to you all.
Yay.
Happy Downton Abbey. May we all have you know
happy,
love and happiness
healthy,
and
safe wonderful 2016.
And hope to see you keep the conversation going with
you're gonna
Call
find you can find Courtney at
Stuart Starlet on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm at Tamara Berg
still crying
on Twitter, and also my website is TamaraCentral.com. If you want to know how to saber a champagne bottle, you can find it there.
Yeah. You can only find me here. Then you won't find me anymore, so maybe you'll find me at Call the Midwife.
I'll Call the Midwife.
Thanks, you guys. Happy New Year.
Happy
Downton. It's been amazing.
from executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Glass of Chompers.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.